darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And once again, it is my pleasure and my honor to sit in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. This may be the last opportunity, and probably will be the last opportunity I have to speak to you before the new year. So happy new year, everybody. I pray that this year is going to be the greatest year of your life. Better than all the best years combined. Because, you know, God is really able to do the exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. May that reality manifest itself in your life in 2026. And I want to thank all of you again for all of your support for American Family Radio, for American Family Association, and all the organizations that we support, and all of the people out there that we are able to impact because of your prayers and your support. So thank you once again. Look, I've got a full program, and I want to get your calls in before we leave. So let me just get right to it. First of all, I want to refine my comments. I don't know whether you heard me last week talking about Nicki Minaj and about her appearance at Turning Point USA. Let me refine those comments a little bit. And I have my son to thank for this because he and I were talking about this. And he informed me of something that I was not aware of. I mean, I knew that she took a stand on the slaughter of Nigerian Christians. And I obviously she appears at Turning Point USA and supports President Trump. And these are certainly good things. And I'm told she's paid a price in terms of the number of people that she's lost in her social media following, I guess, as a result. But I want to add this to it and refine my remarks. My son told me, you know, she really does seem to be undergoing a spiritual transformation. And we won't know for sure exactly where that's going, perhaps until her next album comes out. You know, the last time she put any music out was in 2023. So it's been 2 years now, almost three. My prayer is that the judgment of Turning Point USA people was right, that this is a woman who is really moving toward God and moving away from the sinful lifestyle that she has been representing in the past, and is really on her way to becoming another type of person who can help lead young people to the Lord instead of leading them to the devil. So I hope that that's what's about to happen. I hope we're going to see that reflected in her music in 2026, because that's when her new album is supposed to come out in the spring of 2026. And she's been saying it's going to be something different. It's going to be something different. We don't know what that's going to be, but I'm hopeful about it. And I certainly do want to encourage anybody who is moving toward the Lord. And I hope that that's what's happening for her. I still think we have to be careful about elevating people too quickly because, you know, Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And sometimes there are people who start out, you know, like a flame of fire, but they flame out as quickly as they start out. So, but I hope that this proves to really be, well, not to put too fine a point on it, a turning point for Nicki Minaj. Next thing I will say, oh, by the way, since I just mentioned my son, Earl W. Jackson Jr., he is a committed man of God, a Christian, and he's got a ministry called Mission Ready Men, Mission Ready Men. He's got a podcast that comes on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m. And you can get that wherever podcasts appear, wherever you can see a podcast. But check out the website to learn more about what he's doing. It's called Mission Ready Men. The website is missionreadymen.com, missionreadymen.com. Because, you know, we've got to pass the torch on, folks. I'm not going to be here forever. And I'm really grateful to God that my son is really picking up the torch and he is carrying it on as a Christian, as a conservative, as a man of God. And so I want to make sure you all are aware of him. Earl W. Jackson Jr., Mission Ready Men. he and his wonderful wife are just doing some great things for God. And we prayed a long time for my son because, kind of like me, he wandered in the wilderness for a while. So, you know. But I tell you what, he has come fully into the promised land now, and he is glad about it. So praise God for that. Look, folks, my prayer in 2026 is that those that you're praying for 2026, is that those that you're praying for, those that you want to see saved, those that you want to see come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ will come in 2026. I don't think this is a prophetic word, but it certainly came to mind when I was talking about it. 2026, the year of the fix. God's going to fix some things for us in 2026. And I am certainly looking forward to it. And I know you are too. Okay, I wanted to get that out because I want to be fair to Nicki Minaj. I don't want to pick on her, and I don't want to pick on Turning Point USA, because I think they're doing some absolutely wonderful work. I still have some reservations, but my son's informing me about where she is right now kind of helped me realize, okay, well, maybe something is really going on there. And we're going to find out maybe in the spring of next year that this woman has really made a remarkable transformation and perhaps even has given up a lot of her following in order to do so. So kudos to all the people who have influenced her, because I know this hasn't happened on her own. God has used people to speak into her life, and praise God, her heart has been open and she's listening. Second thing I want to mention is this whole Minneapolis welfare scandal and child care scandal, which is just growing by the minute. I mean, they're now talking about the possibility that Minnesota, has been defrauded out of $9 billion. Now, you all know a lot of that money is federal money that's been sent into Minnesota. So it's your money and my money. And these primarily Somalis, because about... I think the number is somewhere in the vicinity of 60-70% of the people convicted so far have been Somalis who are taking advantage of this, buying expensive cars and homes and boats and sending money to Boko Haram or some Somali terrorist groups back there in the country that they had to flee for their own safety and come into our country. But this needs to be said, folks. This needs to be said. It is time that people stop hiding behind race. I could care less what country they came from. I could care less what the complexion of their skin is. And nobody else ought to care either. But apparently some people do. And some people, you know, folks, I don't know whether these liberals think this way, well, you know, we need them as voters and supporters, and we can't criticize anything they do. They can rob us blind, but as long as they vote for us when the time comes, who cares? Maybe that's the way they think. You know, I have a feeling they may also think this way, which is horribly racist. These people don't have any ethical, they don't have the same ethical and moral standards that we have. Or that people in America have, and we can't hold them to the same standards. I mean, after all, we know, come on, wink, wink, nod, nod, we know they're inferior, they're ethically and morally and perhaps even intellectually inferior. And that's why their country is a basket case. The country they came from is a basket case. So you can't expect them to come here and behave differently. So If they're stealing money because that's what they're accustomed to and that's the best they can do, you know, well, let's not say anything about that. Let's not be racist and point it out. Yeah, I think there may well be some of that. That's the sort of noblesse oblige, the pat on the black head, you know, poor things. What else can they do? I mean, folks, these leftists are constantly pointing the finger at other people, calling them racist, calling the people who are calling this fraud out are racist, when in fact these leftists are the biggest racists on the planet because they are so condescending and so supercilious and so they have such a superior attitude in their condescension, because after all, we understand. we understand what people like this have to do. We understand the way people like this think. They're not like us. We can't hold them to the same standards we would expect other human beings to live up to. Maybe they're just not quite as human as the rest of us. I know, folks, it's disgusting. But I think there's a lot of that in the way these people think. Well, I've said many times, I really don't believe that the Democrat Party has changed anything but its packaging. I believe it is the same party of power and control and enslavement that it was in the antebellum South. It is the same party. It is still the party of the Ku Klux Klan, except now they're using a velvet glove instead of an iron fist. And now they've got people blithely and happily going along with the enslavement and the dependency that they once had to enforce with raw, brute power. But the result is ultimately no different. A whole class of people that you have control over. And it's frankly rather sad. I pray that the awakening that is sweeping the country in so many quarters will ultimately sweep into communities like this and people will wake up. So just wanted to get that out there because it just is, it needs to be said. By the way, and speaking of this, this mindset, this equity mindset, you know, you can't criticize them. Zohar Mamdani has just appointed Lillian Bonsignor as commissioner of the fire department of New York. And they are now touting this, the importance of this, because Lillian Bonsignor is, their word, not mine, is the first gay commissioner of the fire department. Now, only one little fact that they don't want to talk about, which is this woman has no experience as a firefighter. None. Never served as a firefighter, ever. Now, she has apparently some EMT experience. That's not the same. Nothing wrong with that. Great. But that's not the same. We know why she's been appointed. She's been appointed because she's a homosexual. Not because she's qualified to be fire commissioner, but because she is a homosexual. And I tell you what, the same Zohar Mamdani, who was just appointed a homosexual as fire commissioner, is the Zohar Mamdani whose colleagues in the Islamist community would cut this woman's head off and throw her body off a roof. Now, forgive me for being so graphic, but we all know it's true. The very people he associates himself with, that's what they would do to her. Well, what a ruse this is. Playing to this deviant crowd to get power. Somehow, this is the first appointment I've heard of, but somehow this is supposed to now endear him. This is, Lord have mercy. I don't know what in the world is going on in New York. I mean, is New York City, has it just become one big gigantic cult that they would even elected this guy? But at any rate, there's this first appointment that tells you which direction we're going in. Or maybe that's just a bait and switch. Maybe the next few will be all Islamists like him. But at any rate, on a brighter note, because I don't want to have this year end on a sour note. So I've got some bright things to bring up. On a brighter note, boy, did you see Netanyahu and President Trump in their press conference today? I mean, Netanyahu is genuinely moved by the support he's gotten from President Trump. He puts him head and shoulders above Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, who's president. He's worked with them as prime minister. But praise God that he's got President Donald J. Trump, and he loves him and respects him and is grateful to him. Stand by. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be right back.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What if a person says they don't want to be involved in spiritual warfare? And what if a given person says they don't want to have anything to do with spiritual warfare? Tragically, none of us have a choice in the matter. War has come to us, like it or not. Since we have no choice but to face spiritual warfare in our lives, this is our choice. We can live like civilians and just become victims of the killing, abuse, and problems and difficulties of war, or we can choose to become well-equipped soldiers and warriors, skilled and trained for war and spiritual warfare. The most powerful weapon in the world is the Word of God. Here are 7 ways to use the Word of God every day. Daily, we can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
With you, Happy New Year, everybody. May this year coming up be the greatest you've ever had. Now, we got 2 days left before this year is out, and you know, Jesus could come in the next couple of days, but barring that, may 2026 be the greatest ever. Now, look, let me add to this whole this racist anti-Semitic plague that seems to be coming out of the Democrat Party. And don't forget, I said, you know, it is still in spirit the party of the Ku Klux Klan. They've just repackaged it. And remember, it was, well, you know what the 3Ks stand for, right? Catholics were included. Blacks were included. Catholics were included. Just basically a cauldron of bigotry. Now, Karen Bass just recently said that she doesn't understand how in the world Hispanics can join ICE, because over half the ICE agents are Hispanic. She didn't understand that. She said, because how can they join ICE? Because, you know, ICE is a bunch of Gestapo racists, abusers of the rights of Hispanics, so-called, according to Karen Bass. Now, you know, and so in her mind, anybody, something's wrong with any Hispanic who joins ICE. You know, these people, they don't, man, when you don't think that way, it is hard to fathom anybody thinking that way. These are individuals. You know, I would just rather, Karen Bass, be honest and say, look, I hate this country. I don't respect its borders. And I don't think that anybody should, but particularly not Hispanics, since a lot of the people coming across the border are Hispanic. I think Hispanics should hate this country and hate its borders as well. And do nothing, absolutely nothing, to protect the sovereignty of the United States of America. See, that's what's cobbling these people together. It's hatred for our country and its values and its ideals. And they would just as soon see the country collapse and resurrect it in their own wicked, twisted, perverse image. But how about this? How about people who happen to be of Hispanic ancestry, Americans who happen to be of Hispanic ancestry, thinking, man, this country has given me the greatest opportunities I could ever imagine. I mean, she reduced it to, well, it must be the money. It must be the money. So now not only are they too stupid to know that it's not in their interest to join ICE, but they're also just basically greedy goblins who will just take anything and do anything for a few bucks. And then they want to point the finger at other people and call them racist? I mean, wow. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, and we were sharing stories about our backgrounds. And I was saying, look, man, you know, born into a broken home, raised in poverty and foster care, my father had a 6th grade education, was a welder. And, you know, for a kid like me to be able to grow up, go to college, go to law school, practice law, write books, speak all over the country. I say, only in America. Only in America. I've talked to friends who've come here legally from countries in South America, and they said that's not possible there because it's all corrupt. And if you don't know the right people, if your family doesn't come from the in the right circles, you're going nowhere. You are stuck because there are no opportunities that will be open to you unless you know somebody who can do something for you, because it's not based upon merit. It's based upon politics and who you know and, you know, what hand you grease and all that. And here I come from a family, didn't know anybody, didn't have anything to grease anybody's hands with. And just based on hard work and merit and the wonderful opportunities this country offers, man, I am so glad I joined the Marine Corps, so glad I spent time serving my country. How about this? How about these individuals who happen to be of Hispanic ancestry? How about they think that way? Oh, no, that couldn't be, because after all, America's racist and da-da-da. I mean, this stuff is just... Well, look, enough on the sour notes. Folks, I two things I want to end the segment with, and I want to take your calls starting in the next segment. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. Two things. Number one, if President Trump does not get the Nobel Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, they ought to take that thing and run it over with a bulldozer and bury it in the deepest pit they can find. And somebody, it was put so well by somebody, I can't remember who it was. President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize for breathing. He did nothing. He did nothing. They just gave it to him because, I mean, let's not be stupid about this. Let's not require that somebody actually earn something like that, particularly not if it's a person, quote unquote, of color. We owe them so much. Let's just give it to him. And then he spent 4 years, no, 8 years. Lord have mercy. Let me try. Help me to forget. 8 years whining about being a victim of racism. The most powerful man on earth, the leader of the free world, and he and his wife run around crying, as they say, crying with a loaf of bread with a loaf of bread under each arm about having nothing to eat. I mean, it's just, you know. And now, what is he worth? $100 million, $200 million? Five homes scattered all over the world. And I mean, just, but oh, what victims, they're such victims. Oh, it's just, oh, if only we understood. Yeah, well, I don't even want to understand it. Somebody would say, if that's your idea of suffering, I'll take it. I'll take that on. It's just ridiculous. But President Trump deserves the Nobel Prize because he has earned it already. Even if he doesn't solve the Russia-Ukraine war, and that's going to be an issue with Putin. Putin, I think, is living in, he's an anachronism. He's a throwback. I think he's living in the age when you actually became great by taking over territory, when you actually gain renown by subjugating other people. And I think he's living in that bygone era, because the hearts of people, they don't change. But the circumstances change, and he doesn't want to deal with the fact that you are now living in a world that in which most territory in the world is a settled matter. And one of the best ways to start World War III is to decide that there are countries that you're going to take over no matter what. And I think that's what he wants. I think he wants Ukraine. He wants it. And by the way, Russia's never treated Ukraine well. I mean, Khrushchev engineered 25 million Ukrainian starvation because they weren't willing to basically bow the knee to Stalin in the way that he thought they should. And Khrushchev became his hitman, so to speak, and basically engineered the starvation of 25 million Ukrainians to bring them to heel. So I think Vladimir Putin is living in the past, but it's a very, very dangerous way of living. So I don't know that even President Trump can overcome that kind of delusion. But I tell you what, he's trying and he's succeeding in so many other places. He ought to get the Nobel Prize. And I predict that the Nobel Prize will go to President Trump in 2026. I'm going to predict that. Here's the other thing. We've got 4.6% growth in the third quarter of 2025. Folks, that's extraordinary, particularly when you think about the Obama era and the Biden era, in which we were being told that about 1% growth was all we should expect today. We're living in a different world now. I mean, remember Obama lectured us about, you're never going to bring manufacturing back to America. Well, that's because he had no vision for this country. And where there is no vision, the people perish. He was not motivated by love of America that caused him to want the very best for our country. He was motivated by Marxism and globalism, and therefore what he really wanted was for America to be brought to heel, because he thought the world would be a better place when America is knocked down a few notches. That's the way he thought. I think he still thinks that way. President Trump thinks rightly the world is a better place when America is exalted, because America makes the world a better place. And a strong America makes the world a better place. Those are two very different attitudes. So I'm going to go out on a limb and predict this. And I want to hear what you all have to say about 2026. You can comment on anything I've said, but also give me your thoughts about what you think is going to happen in 2026. I predict two things. One is, three things. That President Trump will get the Nobel Prize in 2026. I think they'll be shamed into it. Number two, I really believe we're going to see the economy absolutely flourish in 2026. And it's going to be an amazing thing. Number three, I really believe that the awakening, which has already begun, but it's right now, it's not happening everywhere in every quarter, but it's happening on college campuses. We see it in Turning Point USA. We're seeing it in individuals. Maybe Nicki Minaj is part of this awakening. I was looking at this witch who last year, I thought maybe was converted the year before, renounced witchcraft. Several of them have renounced witchcraft and embraced faith in Jesus Christ and repented of all that garbage. One woman was a Satanist, and she renounced that and said, I renounce Satan. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I mean, this stuff is happening all over the country. I really believe that the awakening is going to envelop people and areas of life that we never imagined in 2026. I'm believing God for that. I believe that's what's going to happen. And here's the last thing. Boy, this is really going out on a limb. You tell me what you think. I believe President Trump is going to make and break history by holding on to the House and Senate. Because if the economy does what I expect it to do, it's going to be hard to overthrow a Congress that is trying to support President Trump's agenda, because people are going to be looking at it and saying, wait. I'm doing well. I've got more money in my pocket. I can meet my expenses better. Energy costs are down. My kids aren't having any problem finding a job or buying a house. And you want me to vote for people who created the opposite? I don't think so. So look, this would be earth shattering from a political perspective, because presidents in midterm simply do not hold on to they don't even win seats. They always lose seats and usually lose control of Congress. If the president can break that cycle, you know, I've been saying before, I really believe that President Trump, and if the press were fair, they would already be acknowledging it, of course, but they're not, and they won't. But I really believe that history is going to have to acknowledge that this is one of the greatest presidents in the history of the country. I mean, just on an objective level. And I know President Trump is not God. and I do not have a pie in the sky fantasized view of him. I think any of us, those of us who are Christians, know all too well the president's flaws, okay? Because he doesn't try to hide them. So, but just objectively assessing his policies and his practices, I don't know how you don't conclude that this man is proving to be one of the greatest presidents in the history of the country. To be gone for 4 years and to come back, that's only been done one other time in the history of the country. And then in the second term, to be accomplishing the things that he is accomplishing. I mean, think about going from just say no to just say, we're going to blow you up if you try to bring drugs into our country. I mean, that's, boy, those are two very different policies. Or think about don't ask, don't tell to, no, you're not going to ask, you're not going to tell. The purpose of the military is not going to be to uphold your sexual deviancy. The purpose of the military is to protect this country. And the military's job is to train our troops to be ready and to be lethal. And that's it, and that's all. We're not doing social experiments, but we're not going to have any more drag queen recruitment ads. This president is, there's no question, he is, no wonder they hate him so much, because he's transformative. I believe 2026 is going to be a banner year. And I say that more for the American people than for President Trump. I mean, you know, let's remind ourselves, you know, President Trump doesn't need this. I mean, the man's a billionaire. He was doing just fine before he got into politics. In fact, in many ways, he's had to suffer a lot, even though they haven't been able to break him, and they haven't even been able to break his financial wherewithal. But, I think we ain't seen nothing yet. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can talk about anything I've raised, or you can bring up something different. It's all good. Happy New Year, everybody. This is E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. Back in a moment.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins takes you behind the headlines and soundbites into conversations with leaders and newsmakers. And Washington Watch Weekend Edition features content from the best segments of the week. For many years, Washington Watch has provided in-depth news coverage and insightful analysis from a Christian perspective. And Washington Watch Weekend Edition is a condensed version of the week's coverage. Washington Watch Weekend Edition, now at 5:30 p.m. Central, Saturdays, on American Family Radio.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And this is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Look, my vision for 2026, notice, is not to see anybody destroyed. It's not to see anybody killed. It's not to hurt anybody, to harm anybody. But it is to see Judeo-Christian values exalted, preeminent, predominant in our culture again, and to see some of the whacked out, all of the whacked out ideas of the left so discredited that they are cast on the dung heap of human history, and that in the years to come, Americans look back on this era and say, you know, there were actually people who believed that. And some of us who are around then will say, yeah, there were, but the American people saw through it and really discarded those ideas, and anybody who wanted to promote them was ultimately marginalized. And so this is how we have the wonderful country that we have today, because we met that challenge and overcame it and remained rooted and grounded on the foundation of Judeo-Christian principles and constitutional governance and all of those things that made this the greatest nation on earth, which we still are. That's what I want to see happen in the next 10, 15, 20 years, if Jesus tarries. 888-589-8840. But let's come to your calls. I want to hear what you have to say about, like I said, any subject I've raised or anything else you want to talk about. Let's go to Jerome in Texas. Jerome, welcome.
Yes, Bishop. How are you, Bishop? I'm so happy that you take my calls all the time. I'm your frequent caller.
I know you are, Jerome, but I'm glad to hear from you.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to say first, I don't know what got into me, and I said to a good friend of mine this morning, he's been through a lot, and I guess maybe the spirit of encouragement came upon me. And I said to him, I think 2026 is going to be a great year, you know. And it that just came out of me, and I'm so glad to hear you in agreement with that. And I think as we all pray and ask God to continue some of the great things that not only President Trump, but many other people are stepping up.
And, yes.
You and I also talked about Nicki Minaj. So, you know, I got to thank you, because it really takes a great man to go back over, you know, his thoughts and to listen to his son. And that was amazing that you listened to his son. I just want to give Nicki Minaj a chance, and I'm so happy that you're willing to give her a chance, and we'll pray for her.
Absolutely.
Yes,
well, Jerome, thank you so much for the call, as always. And yeah, look, my son is a godly man, and so he spoke, and I thought, you know what, he does have a point there. And I he raised something I was not aware of, because again, I haven't followed Nicki Minaj and really didn't know her. But Jerome, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. And let's go to Stephen, also in Texas. Stephen, welcome.
How are you, Bishop?
I am great. How are you?
Man, I'm just fantastic. I was listening to your program, man. I could not agree with you more on so many things. Starting with a good Christ-centered United States, you know what I mean? We need the stability. All of the craziness, if we would have went the other way with that election, which I put hundreds of hours in, for the first time in my life, I educated myself, thank God. And I don't think people know the position we would be in if Trump wouldn't have got in office. I mean, so, and then another point, you know, I think his success, he has so many haters out there. Let's just say that, you know what I mean? People that no matter what, you can put the number front, go left, you know what I mean, every time. But in the end, the statistics do not lie. The man is a genius, and he is the best person we could ever have in the Oval Office for our country, for all the patriots out there, for all the military, everybody. He's the man. He's doing it against all odds. You know, I don't think one point would be, I don't think anybody's ever had as much opposition, and he's just trying to do the right thing.
Well, and I think, Stephen, absolutely, Stephen, and thank you for the call. Look, that's why the opposition is so vehement, because he has messed up their plan for this country. And you are right. You know, the word that comes to mind when you say people don't realize how it might have been had that election gone another way, it is unimaginable. It really is. It is unimaginable. I mean, imagine having a president who doesn't support Israel. Imagine having a president who didn't rein in Iran. Imagine having a president who didn't try to bring some of these more moderate Middle Eastern countries into a peace agreement with Israel through the Abraham Accords. You know, imagine a president who wasn't trying to foster peace around the world, but was busy globalizing America and basically trying to get us to bow to the European Union and bow to pretty much every bad actor on the globe. I mean, and imagine what the economy would be like being lectured and told that we have too much. And you all remember that when Obama would say, well, you know, Americans expect the world to just sit by while they eat what they want and drive what they want. And we don't care what the world does. If we've earned it and it's what our country is producing because of our hard work and our productivity and creativity and freedom, it's none of the world's business. But oh, no, no, he was concerned about how the world sees us. I mean, oh, my goodness. I cannot imagine, not to mention, I mean, how do you couple incompetence with venality and wickedness? Because that's what we would have had. We would have had an incompetent coupled with just a twisted view of life. Oh man. Yeah, Stephen, boy, you really struck a nerve when you said people don't realize. I cannot imagine we would have been a much more divided country. I think President Trump is trying to bring us together. He is de-emphasizing all the racial nonsense. We've heard more about how bad the white man is and how he's the scourge of all the existence and created all the problems. I mean, oh, boy. Man, forgive me, folks, for reciting all of that. But, yeah, I think maybe we would do well to stop and think about what it might have been like had President Trump not been elected. And again, it is unthinkable. And thank God, because, again, I did not start out supporting President Trump. I started out supporting Ted Cruz. I did not see President Trump coming. Folks, I was at a Washington, D.C. Conference. This has had to be back in 2015. Washington, D.C. Conference of the Faith, the Family, what is it? Faith and Freedom, the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And it was announced that Donald Trump was coming. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm participating in this conference, and I'm thinking to myself, well, what is Donald Trump doing here? What is that all about? And I'm thinking, well, you know, Donald Trump likes being the center of attention. He's just probably showing up because he figures it'll get some buzz started. And I just kind of dismissed it. And my thought was, he's never going to run for president, A. If he runs, he certainly can't win, B. And I can't imagine what kind of president he would be even if he somehow got elected, which is not going to happen, C. And, oh, boy. An earlier caller was, I think that was Stephen telling me, you know, he's glad that I was able to adjust my views and on Nicki Minaj and at least give her a chance to see where this is all going. Boy, you talk about having to adjust my views. Yeah, I mean, I had to acknowledge that God's hand was on Donald Trump and doing what most of us couldn't see. But I'll tell you what, I see it now. Remember the prophetic words that came forth that Donald Trump was going to serve two terms, and when he lost, people said, well, see, the prophecies were wrong. But they weren't, were they? They weren't. 888-589-8840. We've got some open lines, and we've got some time. Let's go to Ken in Tennessee. Ken, welcome.
Thank you.
Go right ahead, Ken. Good to have you on. Yes, sir, you're on.
Well, I would first like to say you're filling some really big shoes when you fill Abraham Hamilton the third.
Amen. Don't I know it?
But to give you credit, you've always been a tremendous asset to the radio station, American Family Radio, and God bless that station. It's a beacon of light.
Amen.
My point is, you were talking about the racism issue I'm soon going to be 70, and I was a part of the integration in the South back in the 60s. And I will just tell you, you go to a Walmart in my small hometown, you go to a football game on a Friday night, people are blended here in this town. You go to a church service, and we all worship the same Jesus. And the, you know, the growth that's taken place is that issue, in my opinion, should be swept under the rug.
Yep.
You know, just when can we just let the love of Jesus and, you know, us all striving together to have a winning football team or a winning baseball team or, you know, a community that thrives together. When's that going to happen?
And Ken, in strong families and getting our children well-educated, and you're right. I mean, doing those things that matter to all of us. Well, Ken, I believe that by the grace of God, it's happening now again in pockets. But, you know, the left doesn't want that to happen. It's not, because that's, they hate that idea because they've got a captive audience of people and they don't want to let them go. I mean, that's the bottom line. If this were just left to take care of itself, I think we wouldn't even be talking about race. But the left will never let that happen on their own because they think it's a ticket to power for them. Hey, thank you for the call, Ken. I think I may have said to you all that we had 93% of the black vote in Virginia vote for the Democrat ticket. 93%. Now, you can't get 93% of people in any group to do anything. But the Democrat Party cannot afford to lose a captive audience like that. And they can't start saying, well, you know what? Race doesn't matter. The American people don't care about that anymore. They care about competence and ability and integrity and honor and what makes a human being a good human being, not the color of their skin. We're past all that. Oh, no, no, no. They can't stand that idea because you take away part of what allows them to exist, their lifeblood. Their racism and division is their lifeblood. Because Marxism depends upon dividing people against each other in order to carry out its agenda. And that's these folks are Marxists through and through. So, yeah, believe me, I agree with you, Ken. I don't think the average American could care less. But I'll tell you what, these leftist politicians, it's almost all they do care about. Thank you for the call, my friend. Let's go to Yvonne in Mississippi. Yvonne, welcome.
Thank you. Oh, I am so glad to hear that you're taking Hamilton's place tonight.
Thank you.
I didn't know you had been doing it all week. I have been missing you. last I heard you were going off on politics, which you could win. I know, no doubt you could win. But I was wondering, since you brought up Nicki Minaj, if you knew if she was going to be deported, because I understand her family came over here. She was not born here in America, and then her family came over here when she was 5 years old to move to Queens, New York. And I just wanted to know if you knew any more about that. And then I wanted to let you know about Amanda Grace with Ark of Grace Ministries. She's a female prophetess, like Deborah was. So she had told us that we needed to intercede in prayer, and I hear the music playing.
Amen. Amen. I've got to go, Yvonne, but thank you so much for the call. Nicki Minaj is a lawful permanent resident and a green card holder in the United States of America, but she is not a U.S. citizen, so she is here legally. That's her immigration status at the moment. No, this prophetess I'm not aware of, but, you know, the Bible says despise not prophecy. So, you know, we test it, and apparently a lot of prophetic words about President Donald Trump have proved to be on target. That's going to do it for today. Happy New Year, everybody. Again, may it be the best one yet. And in the meantime, do what you did this year. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.